Blog Talk Radio.
He gives another smile, try to understand. Be alright.
I remember when I was much younger than now. I used to sit and listen to the news. I was the only child. And another day and another night, wishing Daddy would come home. Me and Mom couldn't sleep at night.
It just went off the fire for the things we thought were right. So determined to survive, I believe you're still alive. I sing a ballad for the fallen soldier. This is a ballad for the fallen soldier. I wrote to my congressman.
Yeah, that was Ozzy Brothers' Battle for the Fallen Soldier. And I kicked the show off with a little Michael Jackson, Whatever Happens. This show is going out to the fallen heroes of all foreign wars and all wars. and all veterans everywhere, and for the fallen heroes that just passed away, Mr. Driver, what's your friend's name, Benny? Father. And Benny Tillman. This show is dedicated, what's your name?
Daughtery.
Mr. Daughtery and Major Lance, who passed away. Those who we just can't forget about you and all the fallen soldiers. Jimmy's Underground Radio, 347-838-9825. Open lines.
There comes a day in your life when you want to kick back, straw hat on the porch when you old perhaps, want to gather your thoughts, have a cold one, brag to your grandkids on how life is golden. So I'ma light a cigar in the corridor of the crib, pictures on the wall of all the things that I did, all the money and fame, 8x10s of the whole rat pack inside of a big frame, colliding with big names that could have made your career stop, all that and your man is still here and I'm still hot. Wow, I need a moment, y'all. See, I almost felt a teardrop. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest days. This has taught me golden waves. Made me.
Truly, this is what made me.
Break me.
Not a thing's gonna break me.
These streets hold my deepest days. This has taught me golden waves.
Steady spinning on they back. Can't forget when the first rap Grammy went to Jazzy. Fresh Prince, Fat Boys broke up. Rap hasn't been the same since. So irregular. How it messed you up when Mr. T became a wrestler. Can't forget about Jordan's retirement. The shot Robert Horry hit to win the game in the finals, kid. Some things are forever, some things are not. It's the things we remember that gave the world shock. They stay in a place in your mind so snug. Like who the person was with whom you first made love. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest days. This has taught me golden waves. Made me.
Truly, this is what made me.
Break me.
Not a thing's gonna break me.
These streets hold my deepest days. This has taught me golden waves.
Unsubmittable, I go by N now, just one syllable. It's the end cause the game's tied, it's the same vibe. Good times had right after James died. That's why the gangsta rhymers ain't a spy. Heinous crimes help record sales more than creative lines. And I don't wanna keep bringing up the greater times, but I'm a dreamer, nostalgic with the state of mind. The past, the past, enough of it I then. Enough of gives me chills like Douglas and Tyson. Mike when his talk was live, or when he first did the moonwalk on Motown 25. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest days. This has taught me golden waves. Made me.
Truly, this is what made me.
Break me.
Not a thing's gonna break me.
These streets hold my deepest days. This has taught me golden waves. Made me.
Truly, this is what made me.
Break me.
Not a thing's gonna.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
drive by the gates? Would you try to run inside when it opens? Would you try to die today? Would you pray loud, finally believe in his power? Even if you couldn't see, but you could feel, would you still doubt him? How would you start acting? Would you try to put the keys down? Taking every drug sale that you make in the streets, you can see now. Would a fiend even want to get high? Would he stop smoking? If he knew on his own 2 feet, he could just roll in to get away and escape from the craziness. And I bet you there's a heaven for an atheist. It's partaking this racist planet where they take a younger brother in a handcuff. Even if he innocent, nigga, get on the car, put your motherfucking hands up. Thinking I'ma lose it. My mom's in chemo 3 times a week, yo, keep trying. But people is hard and God, your young soldiers not sober but need you. This world's my home, a world I would leave you.
If heaven was a mile away,
would I pack up my bags and leave this world?
Stop building, I'ma stop feeling like I'm mama size great great grandchildren. I'm not gonna wanna make millions. Just a quarter water days in the hallways, making fake gold caps with the Reese's Pieces wrapper in my mouth all day. But then my style has quite a wild past. Same time as billing out scratch. Game time to the cast, never look back. Chris down blowing dub sacks. That's when it all just hit me. You see the broads and Bentleys, nothing. Let my niggas send it all with me. I give it all away quickly, just to hit them all about the new kicks. Free of any autographs, and not to be recognized. Forgive me. It's becoming unbearable, making hits is easy. Put a famous bitch on a hook, there you go with a platinum CD. I know you heard the noise, preachers touching on altar boys, sodomizing, not realizing God is watching before the Lord. How can they do the devil's work? A man give another man head in church, hell it hurts just to fathom the thought, wishing that I fled the earth.
If heaven was a mile away,
would I pack up my bags and leave this world behind?
If heaven was a mile away,
wake up, I'm blessed. Every day you wake up and breathe another breath, you blessed. So all them niggas running around talking about I'm fucked up. I gotta get on, I'm in the grind, I'm fucked up. Yeah, we all in the grind. But look at the beautiful shit around you, it's a beautiful life. All my niggas locked up, keep your heads up. Heaven's just a mile away. I'm talking heaven on earth, ain't got nothing to do with money, got nothing to do with nothing material. I'm talking about heaven in your own heart, in your own world, baby, in your own existence. To my mom, look at me, baby. I love you, girl. Your boy's shining. God's son.
Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio, 347-838-95. Just did a little dedication to the fallen soldiers. And the fallen tillman that fell this Saturday, 11 p.m. Juke. That's Dirty Blessing's father passed away. All our hearts going out to you and Jabari and your sisters and your mothers. Just be back at this commercial break, everybody. We're coming back with Jesse Jackson, Rahm Emanuel. And the teachers were on strike again today, everybody. The teachers were back out there on again protesting school closures here in Chicago. Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Does your insurance company work for you? Hi, this is Ken Robinson, President and CEO of Ken Robinson & Associates Limited. We are an insurance brokerage firm located at 5963 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois. Our phone number is 773-626-0883. We make the insurance experience easier by shopping for you, saving you time and money. Our agency features the best insurance products, giving you the most competitive prices. We insure needs for less, featuring life, health, annuities, homeowners, auto, SR22, bond cars, business owners policies, general contractors liability, and vacant buildings. Now, we also offer coverages most major insurance companies no longer offer. Please call for a free quote at 773-626-0883.
Attention business owners, radio show producers, and internet radio producers. It's time to crank it up for 2012 with quality radio production. Are you a record label needing hot album promos or EPKs for your new artist? Introducing CoolVoiceRadio.com. Does your internet show need a new intro or outro? How about a promo for your upcoming event? Are you a DJ needing a hot voice for your next hot mixtape? Imagine increased sales in your business from an internet radio spot. we've got you covered with broadcast-quality radio spot production with the nation's top voiceover talent, featuring talent like John Heath, Kate Clifford, Bill Thomas, and much, much more. Visit us online at www.coolvoiceradio.com. CoolVoiceRadio.com or call 646-326-7800. Remember, nothing beats the right sound.
347-838-9825, Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. Today's show is going to be about Jesse Jackson Jr. You know, that's like a favorite topic of mine for those who've been listening in for some time. It seems like the feds are closing in on them. You know, it seems like they, well, from the latest news break that broke here Friday, he's in agreement, well, he's trying to make an agreement or a plea deal with federal prosecutors. Now, I've been having debates with people all day long on this subject. And everyone was like, well, let's give the guy a chance. You know, he is trying to work things out. But there have been so many stories with this Jackson camp, from exhaustion to gastric bypass surgery to bipolarism. Difficult to say which is true when dealing with Jesse Jackson Jr. Well, right now I'm trying to get all the tracks lined up. I'm waiting for Sister Girl to come into the studio again. Like I said, we had a death in our family, and we are consoling our grandmother. It's kind of hard to tell a grandmother that her son has passed away. You know, my grandma's 89 years old. My uncle was about 65, 66. You think that he'll bury her instead of her burying him. So it's kind of touching. So let me take you to a commercial break while I get all my stuff lined up. 347-838-9825 again. And we're going to be dealing with Rahm Emanuel, with him getting caught secretly taping news reporters here in Chicago. Be back in a minute.
Walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. So much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they are hurting little children, if they could only see what our community could be. When in consultation, 1, stay calm. 2, try to say something positive. 3, tell the person what's on your mind. 4, ask if the person understands. 5, thank the person for listening if you can. Come on, y'all, let's be an example. It has to start somewhere. How about now? For more information on ways to prevent violent crimes, contact Totally Positive Productions at 773-488-9553.
That's Totally Positive Production, and we're still having a little difficulties, so I'm going ahead and do is just play this one cut so I get all my tracks lined up again. You ready? Okay, just go to the JGS, and we go from there.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irving.
I do no harm. I never meant to make you. You're the only one I've ever loved in my life, and so it's hard for me to show it. I've got to let you know it, 'cause darling, I love you more each day, but the word got in my way. Oh, I meant you no harm, and I would die if you ever
I can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit man, pop the bop, pop it out of bebop, pop the bop. Yeah, bass man, come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit man, sound good. Yeah, saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
When you would come my way.
Underground Radio. I'm still having a hard time putting stuff up. So let me go to one of my callers going in from, I think it's Alabama. What's going on, caller? How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy Lee. That was some good music, man.
Well, just playing something for my man, Jesse Jackson, who's still there. He's a victim.
Yeah.
They feel that he's a victim of whatever he caught himself into now that the 2nd District has elected a crazy man to the House of Representatives. Now he's in a situation where he's making a plea deal. So I'm wondering, what is his plea deal? What is he going to be, what is he dealing with? What is his plea? Is he going to try to say he's a victim of the whole circumstance? Is he going to try to have a black community come to his rescue? The evidence he did something wrong. What's your comment? What you feel? What you calling? It's open lines. What you want to talk about today, my man? What's going on with you?
Well, Jimmy, there's just so much talk about racism and stuff. I kind of had thought we had made a lot of progress, and then here in the last few years, it's just right back in our face. I just thought we had, as a nation, had moved beyond a lot of that stuff, but we are the melting pot of the world. We got people here from every corner of the earth. You know, this is not a good position to be in for anybody.
Well, I agree with you. And this past election that we just had, one result that stood out to me was not more, Well, you can go how the election might have been drawn on racial lines, but I kind of looked at another underground fabric that people are not talking about, and that is the fact that 3 million citizens stayed home and didn't vote at all. Now, I was wondering, was it the fact that they just, Romney didn't sell the deal to them, and they said that we're not going to vote for a black man, and hell no, we're not going to vote for a Mormon. Now, was it that? Is it that this election could have been really settled on religious bigotry than racial bigotry, seeing that 3 million people died to stay home, and 3 million people could have changed the outcome of this election when every vote is important? I mean, John McCain got more votes than Mitt Romney, and he had Sarah Palin, who was, by all means, very polarizing. You know, when John McCain tried to run one campaign instead
sure.
of another, and she was very polarizing, they generated more votes than Mitt Romney. Now, the hidden elephant in the room, it was Mark Romney's religion. That was a hit that no one's not talking about, that maybe that's how come he couldn't close the deal, or maybe how come somebody like Michelle Bachmann couldn't stand on stage with them to help him close the deal, or Rick Santorum, or Newt Gingrich, or any other. This is the first election that I saw that no other candidate that lost the previous election stood up with the nominee in campaign form. And this is the first election I've seen that happen. You know, even Hillary Clinton went on this campaign for Barack Obama, and that was a very, very passionate campaign there. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Herman Cain could have came out on the stage and probably got some votes from me. Condoleezza Rice. I mean, George Bush. How come we couldn't even bring out George Bush? Was he that frightened that George Bush might run people away? I mean, he couldn't even get the Christian coalition. He can get the angelic vote, the same vote that's been pushing the Republican Party for since the Reagan administration. He couldn't even pull that deal. So, you know, that's the most silent thing of this election that I've been noticing that no one's really talking about, because
you're probably right about that, Jimmy. You're probably right about that. It's not just one thing. It was a multitude of things. I mean, honestly, Jimmy, I think both sides are so corrupt that it's going
right.
to be impossible to get either side repaired or fixed, if you will. It'll take an effort of average Americans getting together and deciding if they want something besides what they got. I mean, Bush and that Patriot Act, I would like to see Obama repeal that thing. That's a monster, but he didn't do it,
so I'm
not happy with him about that, you know?
Right. I agree with you. You know, there's things that both parties are guilty of, and that's, again, why I say maybe 3 million votes. See, me being black and sitting here in Chicago, Cook County, we have a saying that goes, even when Clinton ran or the first George Bush, the last George Bush, Sir Reagan was, we'll go with the devil that we know instead of the devil that we don't know. And it seemed that since Barack Obama kept some of the same policies that George Bush kept in place, it seemed like I said, those 3 million voters decided to say, hey, well, he's still doing the same thing. We might as well keep it going on, because there was no mention of the Patriot Act during this debate, no mention of freedoms or overstepping of the government. There was no mention of no issues whatsoever. There's a lot of issues that was facing America, and it's the first campaign that none of them was addressed. They danced around about the economy, but yet no one came up with a plan. Yet no one came up with a foreign policy plan. Yet no one came up with an immigration plan. No one said anything. This is the first election that you cannot pigeonhole anybody on their ideas and beliefs and say what was their plan for the future of America. Now, my man Herman Cain got laughed off the stage, but at least he had a plan, an economic plan, where you could at least debate it, look at it, see if you implement it, what could have happened to it. But this last past election, no one came out and said, this is what I'm going to do for America. And then again, like you said, the Patriot Act, that should have been repealed. I would figure this, really, that white America might be scared that a black American got the Patriot Act in his hand, seeing how dangerous that it is. And, you know, I figure they might say, get rid of him because he might come down on us. He was the Black Panther. You don't know how he might use it. I figure there might be an uproar, you know. But given his military record and how he's really democracy's on the march, like George Bush said, and we're going to make sure that the Middle East have a whole democracy state, whether it's Al-Qaeda or whether it's the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, this is George Bush wanted, democracy in action, and he's putting the same policies in plan. There's no one screaming at this. Where the left not screaming war crimes, you're killing Africans, the right not screaming, you're spending too much money on military policies, even though it's fiscal conservative. It seems like
well, that's right, Jimmy. I mean, shouldn't somebody up there in Congress be jumping up and down about something, regardless of what party they're in?
Something. No one's saying nothing. Nothing.
And
I
you look,
hear.
You can no, go back 100. I'm sorry. You can go back. Well, that's right. Of course, the Tea Party was a grassroots thing, got some traction, and as soon as it did, the old Republican Guard started throwing money at it, got their people in charge of it, and killed it.
I mean, because you think with all the with the Tea Party who's swooped in during Barack Obama's first midterm election, during that 2010 election, you would think that they would had enough fortitude to stand up and say we want to shrink government down. You would think that, but this past election, they were not even standing behind Mitt Romney or pushing their issues out, even though he asked for their vote during the primary. It was stifled. It was silenced. There was no issue. There was nothing that the average person can get behind except on the fields of racism where blacks voted for Barack Obama because he's black. Hands down, they can't argue it. That's how we roll. Whites didn't vote for Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon, and they didn't vote at all because he's a Mormon. They're not going to say it, but that's the real reason. If they want to scream, we're tired of this black man doing this or we're tired of this man doing that, 3 million of them decide to stay home. They can't say he stole the election when no one went out to vote. You can't say
that
at all.
There is about 10 states, Jimmy, that controls the elections no matter, you know, when it really comes down to it, the votes of about 10 states. I would like to see them completely do away with electoral college, then every person... then if they sit at home and don't fill their votes count, well, that's a lie. You know, if every person's vote truly counted, you could do that by doing away with electoral college. A vote for vote, and none of this electronic addition over in Spain of our voting. That's an open sore for fraud. Again, the Congress is not jumping up and down raising hell about it. I can't even imagine they put that whole mess together. But anyway, we need hard copy so that everybody's vote can be tallied and eliminate the fraud. I want to win. Honestly, I want my country to win. No matter who's in my office, I want my country to win. And if you go back and study history through all of the legislation that's been passed in the last 100 years, and it boils down that every time we change presidents, regardless of what race it's been, what party it's been to date, the American, the American citizen has lost more and more and more rights.
That is true. And it's so true that when you said something earlier, let's go if we got rid of the Electoral College. You have states like New York, California, Illinois, Texas just decide who's going to be the president. I mean, would you want that? I mean, would you want the
Well, not really. Not really, because the majority, once there's a majority established for a particular candidate, all the electoral votes go for that candidate. So if you say, for instance, just for an example, you've got 1 million voters and it only takes 51% for them to get the electoral college votes, well, that other 49%, their votes really don't count for nothing. So if the votes from one state add up to the votes in another state, I just think it should be the popular vote should win, and we do have, no matter how we are in this country, we don't all think alike, and I just think it would be better for the nation. That's just me. I think more people would come out to vote. I would like to see it, if, you know, of course, a lot of people, wouldn't agree with me, but the reason I think it is better for the nation is that it's a lot easier to control the number of electoral college votes than it is to control the masses.
Well, if we look at how the election went down this way, Barack Obama still comes across as the victor with the most electoral votes.
Well, he's the president.
I mean, that electoral vote with the majority of the vote.
He won.
That's not a problem. Then Al Gore would have been the president during the first time around.
I hate thinking about that, but I still would prefer to be. That's right.
I'm just going on, and I agree with you because you guys, let's look at Illinois, states like Illinois. If you have Illinois just determining who the outcome of the president, because we're the fourth largest, Chicago's the fourth largest city, and we're going to carry a whole lot, just like if California, New York, they would determine the outcome of the ballot. They'd make sure that what gay marriage is legitimate or any other thing that they might find any other law. The way the framers, you can look at it both ways, but the way the framers did set it up so you can have, I guess, these little small towns, people not being bought out by Hollywood or New York or Madison Avenue, like this election was bought off to me because it was more sold in the media than on the issues. Because, again, like I said, the media, this election dictated what the issues were not. And it was too busy framing who the candidates were and then determine what their positions were. And a lot of things just got, the American people got bamboozled because the Republican nominee didn't fight. He didn't put up a fight to make both sides at least become honest. At least this is how I'm standing right here. This is my position. This is how I feel. And I'm different from the president over here. And then the president would have been able to say, this is where I'm at, and this is why this guy ain't the right guy. Instead of one guy saying, I agree with everything this guy is doing. The economy is bad, but whatever this guy is doing, I agree with it. But the economy is bad, everybody. And we're given a nominee such as that, and then given the quality of the process elimination that we had, seeing how infidelity being a sole mark to put you out of nomination, then that would prevent people. I mean, Newt Gingrich got a pass to hang around a little while longer than my man Herman Cain. But even though to me, I felt Herman Cain was much more of a threat to the President Obama, not only because he was black, but he had a plan written up to be criticized and judged, and he was the only one that had something to be judged and criticized. And to this day, we're going to go in January, not knowing what the president is going to do, because he didn't outline it in his victory speech, and he does not have to outline it in his State of the Union, because, hey, the object of the game was to win, to get my second term. Now I've done it. Now the next year, is Congress going to sit there for the next 2 years and try to find some things to impeach the man up? Then America loses because we're trying to find out, let's make this man stop all the way through. We're going to spend 2 or 3 years trying to find if Benghazi worth impeaching this man over, or is this worth doing it when the debt ceiling is right here, where ain't no one talking about how we're going to restructure the tax code so citizens can get better money back, or how are we going to give jobs to urban city America for the people who came out and voted for the president? Any of these things going to be adjusted, or are we just going to sit back and play the game of gotcha journalism, let's get this man, we won, he's not a good president, we're going to concentrate our energy on that. That's my fear of how this next 2 years going to be, because everyone's fighting for the next 2 years for the next re-election, so the next 2 years going to be, we're going to stop him from doing X, Y, Z, or are we going to look at Obamacare and take the things out that are harmful and tweak it here or tweak it there because we know it's going to be law, or let's find some way where we just cut spending. We can sequester the Navy. We can cut the. We can go Donald Rumsfeld way. Everybody laughed at President Obama for his military spending, but Donald Rumsfeld said we need the 21st century military. We got to cut it down. We need these drone strikes. We got to put boots on the ground so we can have another Black Hawk down with people dragging soldiers through the streets. During this military holiday we celebrate on Veterans Day. I'm just throwing things out there for your response,
sure, man. No, Jimmy. No, my family, like a lot of families, they got blood invested in this country, and I don't like for us to have bad leadership of any kind. And we just, you know, in December, I believe, Jimmy, in December, that we've got the Federal Reserve is coming up for renewal of its charter. Hadn't been a word of it in the media. The Federal Reserve has been a, I don't know if you studied that, but that has been a thorn in our flesh from the beginning.
From its inception.
It prostituted, our legislators have prostituted themselves over a relationship with the Federal Reserve. And here's I want to do a quick rundown for you on that, Jimmy. That's kind of a hot button for me. The people, they charge us 6%. The Federal Reserve currently is making about $226 billion a year for them doing the money thing. But here's the real crux of it. They charge, it costs 6.72 cents to make a $100 bill. Call it 7 cents. We're charged 6 cents on the $100 interest. Well, if you divide 7 cents into $6, it goes 84 times. That's 8,400% interest, Jimmy. There's not a company on the stock market that's making 8,400% a year.
Right. I mean, hey.
It's a shell game, man. We could do just like we did in the beginning, have our own interest-free, debt-free money, and this our economy would go through the roof.
China does it, don't they? China does it, doesn't it?
I believe they do.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm with you.
There's a way, but you know, that's the big banker. That's Wall Street. That's what we need to predict. That's the Lehman Brothers. You know, that's J.P. Morgan. You know, if you know your history, that's Lehman Brothers and J.P. Morgan. I mean, they've been dealing with the structure financially in this country almost since the cotton was picked from Mississippi. I mean, if you want to look while we're going through the crisis that we're going, because Lehman Brothers too big to fail, J.P. Morgan too big to fail. And they rely strictly on the Federal Reserve to make everybody believe that they are the man so we can still put our money in the banks. You know, they say our grandparents was fools for putting their money in their mattresses and boxes and shoe boxes in their house. But that, as of now, you can see that's the safest place for your money to be. Because at any moment now, a solar flare can hit and you cannot get a hold of your money because all the electricity is going to be going out and your money is stuck in your bank. It's nothing but a credit. I mean, then nothing's going to be able to move whatsoever at all.
I mean, Thomas Jefferson, Jimmy, said the problem with a fiat currency, which is paper currency, is that it always returns to its intrinsic value. You buy a paper on Sunday for $1.50. What's it worth on Friday?
Right, 2 cents. The recycling fee, you know.
Fee. Who knows?
But the gold standard is something that will be a dream almost for Americans to go back to, you know. It'd be a dream.
I'm not saying we could use silver. You know, that's what Kennedy did. You know, he issued Executive Order 11110, and that was the silver certificates. He was going to put us back on our own money system. And I believe that plus he was going to end the Vietnam War, get us out of there, bring our soldiers home. You know, that's another thing Thomas Jefferson said. If you want endless wars, install a central bank. It doesn't belong to us. It's a private industry, and it has got us by the throat, Jimmy. I promise you, there's more things that go right back to the Federal Reserve than any other single cause that's been a problem in our nation since the time that it was implemented, 1913.
Well, let's go. How many town hall meetings have you been to where you probably got your congressmen up there and they can say, I agree with you, but ain't got the votes to go ahead and do it. I mean, it's not like we do not know it's a problem. You can go to, as a history teacher, you can go to a history class and what you just said, you teach it to your class and tell them why it's wrong, but as soon as that class grow older and become voting age, they forget everything that was taught to them in high school and realize it's just, that's the way it's going to be. You know, but for some reason, since Herbert Walker said we're in New World Order, this is where we at right now.
Yeah, but the New World Order means that America collapses into the the New World Order, and we end up being a place called America and not a country anymore. And that's really what they're after. The globalists are the
are
ones
that now?
That,
I mean, yeah. not to be as xenophobic, but are we that now since we're the Dream Act? We just Americans. Anybody come in here? I mean, you know, I'm not gonna say anchor babies be very disrespectful like that, but anyone can come in here and with no currency, no see, currency, no country. Asian, Eastern European, Hispanic, they can come over here, get all the rights and benefits of America, send that money back home, and go back home. But you got, let's say, the descendants of American slaves. You know, you got people here. You got people that. The Chinese workers working on the AeroTrain. I mean, people that came here, that the Irish potato farm, people that came in this little country to give America its quote-unquote history, to make America to what you know it is and what I know it is now, you know, given the tiny age that America is in a global grand scheme of things, you know, how America's going now, again, with this Dream Act and everything else that has been passed on, we are just America by name alone. You know, when everybody say jump, we got to jump. We got to go here. We got to go to Libya. We got to go to Syria. We got to go to Iraq. We got to go to Iran.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for 50 years, Jimmy. We have bombed 50 different countries since World War II, little ones and every size of country. And they've been using all of the agencies, CIA, NSA, all these agencies, to go around and kill off leadership in these small countries and get their own crew put in charge of them, all for this United Nations deal. That's what this is really all about. Libya, Gaddafi had a big chunk of gold over there, and he wanted to create a new currency backed by gold for the entire continent of Africa. And the world bankers, they simply weren't going to have it. So now Gaddafi's dead, and guess what? They got a central bank.
That's true. See, the funny part about it, Gaddafi came and met with George Bush and gave up his weapons like, here, I'm done here. Let's go fight Al-Qaeda. I'm with you. They trying to take me over. I'm with you. But we got a new president, and he go kill Gaddafi, and which is funny to me because, you know, when you look at how you look at Gaddafi as an enemy of America, you can go back to the bombing of the airplane bomber, but he's held in high regard to the African-American community, and I tripped on them by how silent that they were by not being upset that Muammar Gaddafi was killed by Barack Obama, even though Muammar Gaddafi praised Obama, thinking he had a pass because him and George Bush was cool. But it's funny how the quote-unquote pan-African people are quiet now. Or the, for like, let me give you an example. If Barack Obama was Bill Clinton or George Bush, there'd be a lot of Africans right now protesting the moves that he's doing in Africa. Matter of fact, that's why Bill Clinton had to get out of Africa. He had to get out of Somalia quickly. Right now, Barack Obama's right now right back in, finishing off what Bill Clinton couldn't do because the funny part about it, let's be real, let's play the color game. A white man can't be in there doing what Barack Obama doing to Africa without people having pictures of slavery or the transatlantic slave trade all over again. You want to look at a military industrial complex, got the whole game being played. Let's look at the real reason why Mitt Romney was just a boy just to be up there and punch dragons. Wants to keep the money going. Where Al Qaeda at? Al Qaeda's in Africa. Al Qaeda's in Somalia. Al Qaeda's in Libya. Al Qaeda's in Africa now. You want to keep the money going? You got to go. That's where you got to go.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Jimmy, if we weren't there, if we didn't have embassies in this country, let them call on Skype. Man, you know what I mean?
Right.
Why do we have to have all that infrastructure? We don't need that. And we don't need, we got 700 bases established around the world, Jimmy.
Okay, I agree. Listen, that's true. Let me tell you something that caught me about our 700 bases that we got out there. One of them is somebody talking about the Korea incident. At the end of the Bush regime, I was like, pulling people back from North Korea. We've been over there in the Korea and Peninsula for about a minute. But now, my intel got it to me that, you know, Korea, South and North are on the verge of war right now. I mean, that's plethora on the verge of war, but you're not talking about that because it's a nuclear conflict. And we got troops in harm's way right there right now. being targeted right now because we got a new Kim Jong-il leadership over there that's want to make some noise and want to make some name for himself. You know, I mean, the way the whole world is looking now outside of America, because people just looking at the American influx, you know, I got my eyes seeing what's going on, you know, all around the world. Because like you said, if we were not in Africa, Chinese would be in Africa getting resources, getting that silver, getting that copper, getting all that tin, getting all that stuff we need for to run these computers, or France would still be in there. I mean, right now China's in there big time because they're investing in big time in Africa, and America's not investing big time in Africa, and America's still looked upon as a great state over there in Africa. Now we just got an African-American president over there killing Africans. I'm just saying how if you look at the plight of protest and how it was here in America with certain foreign policy issues, a lot of voices have been stifled. Black and white voices have been stifled during this.
Yes, and they can say what they want to about all these wars, Jimmy. All they are is depopulation programs, just like the abortion issues here in the United States. They wrap it up in some kind of intellectual crap, but that's really what it boils down to. That's how it's been sold. All these protests and stuff that's going on, if you look at the core of all these groups, they're all funded by some entity like George Soros or one of his crew. And here's another thing, Jimmy, I'd like to jump on for a second. These folks did the same thing during Vietnam. They did the Jimmy Carter, man. Jimmy Carter, his group down there in Panama City, I think, who's the guy, talks out of the side of his mouth all the time, Kissinger. Kissinger was down there with Brzezinski. They got those protests started in Panama and they said it was the Panamanians were so upset with us being down there. And he says, we're just going to try to have peace and everything. And he signs it, you know, the Panama Canal away. Here we are 40 years later, and the Chinese and the Dutch are down there spending billions of dollars, Jimmy, widening and deepening the Panama Canal to bring all those ships from China right around to up to Texas there. And you got to know that they knew 40 years ago what their plans were. Jimmy Carter's one of them. I got nothing for Jimmy Carter. Well, my family all were Democrats. I've been Democrats for years. I don't even know if I ever even heard the word Republican until Jimmy Carter got through with us. Man, what a washout that was. But I'm angry about it. But if you look at Panama City, it looks like New York. Man, there's skyscrapers everywhere down there. And we did that down there, Jimmy. We built it. We should control it.
That's true. You see, that's true. It's a little thing because what the average American looks at it as, it does not affect us. You know, it does not affect no one in St. Louis. It does not affect no one in Detroit, California, Jackson, Mississippi. None of those things affect them hands-on in the future. Like I said, that's Jimmy Carter. That was 40-some years ago and how they are right now. I mean, it's funny how one little move by signing away the Panama Canal, I think, we gave it away by the time Bill Clinton got president. Was it George Bush or Bill Clinton? It was the total year commitment down there. One of those presidents would have ended on their watch list. But I hate to say it's the selling away of America. But
that's right.
When you have a Congress that allows it to happen, when you have a citizenship who was elect that representation to go up there to allow it, then what's the old saying? You get the government that you deserve.
Oh, Lord, I hope not. I pray to God he changes his mind, Jimmy.
I mean, I'm just saying, you see, when I look at Obama, I look at it as, I look at him as a president that if the Congress says we're going to do this, then we're going to handle it that way. That's all right. Don't ask, don't tell. The Congress thumbs they feet out there, and he signs a bill. Lilly Ledbetter Act, he signs the bill. The Dream Act, he signs the bill. Anything that I go here, the Bush tax cut, he signs the bill. The increase in Afghanistan, he signs a bill. There's not been one bill that I don't think Obama has vetoed, has not signed, that the Congress has given him. So if this Congress that we elect don't go up there and make noise, but I mean, if you look at this past last 4 years, after the first 2 years, after Obama did the health care and everything else, boom, Republicans get in the House, there was nothing said. There's nothing done. Nothing at all. All we hear is one term, one term, one term. We're not going to do nothing. Now he's a president again. Are we going to have 4 years of being dumbed down as Americans because we're not paying attention to what our Congress is doing, that we get so caught up in the black and white story that we're going to look at the black and white issues instead of saying, hey, Representative ABC, I sent you to Congress to do ABC. Could you do ABC? You know, hold on for a second. I got some other callers. I'm going to keep you on the line. I got some other callers calling. I got to see you on the line, Dana. I'm going to go to Pianki, then I'm going to go to you, Dana. Bring Pianki in, Ebony. Oh, we got Pianki in the chat room. Bring Dana in then. Hey, Pianki, go in and call in. What do you have to say, Dana? Did we brought her in, Ebony? I'm not on the board now. Could you bring her in? Okay, then you didn't live. Hey, Pianki, go in and call in, Pianki. Dana, I got you live in. Anything you want to contribute on to the conversation? I'm not hearing Dana, too tough, Ebony. All right, why don't you go to commercial break? I'm going to go to commercial break. I'll be waiting. Hold, don't go nowhere, Mr. Atlanta. I'm going to continue this conversation with the last 30 minutes I got of you, Mr. Farmer. And 3 more minutes.
Does your insurance company work for you? Hi, this is Ken Robinson, President and CEO of Ken Robinson & Associates Limited. We are an insurance brokerage firm located at 5963 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois. Our phone number is 773-626-0883. We make the insurance experience easier by shopping for you, saving you time and money. Our agency features the best insurance products, giving you the most competitive prices. We insure needs for less, featuring life, health, annuities, homeowners, auto, SR22, bond cards, business owners policies, general contractors liability, and vacant buildings. Now, we also offer coverages most major insurance companies no longer offer. Please call for a free quote at 773-626-0883.
Attention business owners, radio show producers, and internet radio producers. It's time to crank it up for 2012 with quality radio production. Are you a record label needing hot album promos or EPKs for your new artists? Introducing CoolVoiceRadio.com. Does your internet show need a new intro or outro? How about a promo for your upcoming event? Are you a DJ needing a hot voice for your next hot mixtape? Imagine increased sales in your business from an internet radio spot. We've got you covered with broadcast quality radio spot production with the nation's top voiceover talent, featuring talent like John Heath, Kate Clifford, Bill Thomas, and much, much more. Visit us online at www.coolvoiceradio.com. Coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Risen, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Risen offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Risen. Visit us online at phoenixrisen.com.
347-839-825. Short break, Ebony. That was a short break. I was literally taking a break. Bring everybody in. Yeah, Pianki, didn't call in. All right. What is he got a question there? Did you say anything? All right. Is that right there? All right. What's our guest name? Ebony, we got on the line again.
Neil.
I'm sorry, Mr. Farmer. I'm done with my scream. Okay, Neil.
Neil,
now,
I'm sorry.
How much time we got left in the show, Ebony? 39 minutes. Okay. Yeah. A lot of people chatting in the chat room. I'm trying to bring those people in. Now, let's continue the conversation. What would you say if I went to break, Mr. Neil? What would you say now?
Neil's fine, Jimmy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Jimmy, I would like. Well, we've talked about a lot of topics, probably 10 different topics. But you know, these are all things that matter. And you know, they say if you don't study history, then you're bound to make the mistakes of history. And so we have to look back and try to figure out where it went wrong and what it's going to take to fix it. And I'd like to remind your listeners, you know, back when in the 90s, when they passed the World Trade Agreement, the North American Trade Agreement, and the North American South American Trade Agreement, there was you had to know there was something wrong, Jimmy. You had Democrats patting Republicans on the back, Republicans patting Democrats on the back, and they said we had all those states, you know, the Carolinas all up in there, was all upset, West Virginia was all upset. They said, you know, we have these jobs up here, these mill jobs, and these jobs are going to go to China or some other low-paying company, and our folks need these jobs. And they said, no, those are low-paying jobs, we know, but if those jobs go away, we'll replace those jobs with high-tech, high-paying jobs. And the jobs have never come, Jimmy. So you have to take a long, hard look at the representatives on both sides of the fence, and you have to, the only thing I can come up with is they're working for the same group of folks. They're working for the world industrialist and world globalist interest. And so, that's just my take on that, but the jobs went away and they're not coming back. The only thing that will probably bring us back around is going to be the energy sector. That's a fact, regardless of who's running it. But I would like to ask you a question, Jimmy. Isn't it sad, man? Are we really going to trade our votes for cell phones?
Listen, I hope not. You know, you said something earlier that I didn't agree with, which is go back to the old fashioned paper ballot. I don't trust voting electronically. I don't trust voting by screen. I don't even trust absentee voting.
No.
You know, I feel there should be a paper trail. A hard copy.
Yes.
Ooh. I would take a chance on going back to a Chad. I'll go through Chads.
Yes.
Make sure it's correct. If you're lazy, hire somebody that be their job to watch the Chads. If it's so teetering of a process, there's nothing teetering than getting it right. Now, we can look at all these, like people want to say, George Bush stole the election, he had the machines rigged in Ohio. Barack Obama stole the election, he had the machines rigged in Ohio. If both parties are screaming that the machines are rigged in Ohio, then do away with electronic voting now. Get rid of it now. Go back to, and get rid of 10-page ballots. Get rid of 10-page ballots. We're going to bring Dana in. I just want to bring Dana in. Bring her in. Yeah, Dana, I got you in from D.C. How you doing there, Dana?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. You want to chime in on what we're talking about?
Well, I just called in, so I'm not real familiar with the topic. I heard about voting. I will say this, that I heard your caller say something about history. You know, that was not learned, it's going to repeat itself. And you're right. I think one of the biggest problems that we have here in America is that somehow we've lost what it means to be American. You know what I mean? Honestly, in my opinion, it doesn't matter who wins. As people in this country, we should somehow find it in our hearts to come together and support whoever it is that's elected to represent our country. You know what I mean? Because the whole is only as strong as the weakest part. And so if we as people somehow can't find it in our hearts to say, hey, you know what? He won the election fair and square. I don't understand how, even if I didn't vote for him or whatever, you know, I'm not saying that was my stance. I'm just, you throwing it out there as an idea. But if we can't come together as people and realize that we're all Americans, then we're going to always have problems. You know, there's always going to be somewhere we can disagree. There's always going to be something that someone else said that we don't think was right, all those things. But we should come together as a people and support one another. And if we can't do that, then that's a problem, in my opinion.
Well, you know, Senator Javits in 1965, he's the guy that introduced the legislation concerning immigration. And it is said that he made the comment on the floor of Congress, "Let the floodgates open." And you have to admit that our culture has been rubbed up against every kind of culture in the world. The fact that we are the melting pot of the world doesn't mean that all of those people that are here think like we do. A lot of them wanted what we have. I don't know that all of them do.
But, you know, because we're the melted pot, because we are a melting pot, then you're right. You know, I'm not saying that we should all, that we are all of one mind and that we should all think alike. I'm saying that here in this United States of America that we're all Americans.
Yes.
And honestly, the one thing that makes us a beautiful country is that, guess what, we're not like anyone else. We don't all look the same. We don't all dress the same. We don't all smell the same. We're not the same complexion. But we're all Americans, you see? And this country was founded on the backs of a bunch of different people. And so because that's what we are, then that's what we should be about. You know, when I go, I've been to other countries before, and when I look around and all the people look the same and everyone's alike, and you know what I mean? And some of them, they all have the same religion, so they all can only practice the same beliefs. That's not what I would want to be if I were to design, if I were to pretend like this country was a picture. I would want splashes of all kinds of paints. Because I know that when you have this nice collage, guess what? You end up with a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful picture. And I think that that's what we have here in this United States.
Well, that is something that is nice to think about. I used to go and visit Manhattan Bible Church up on 100 Swift Street in New York, and they had people in that church from all over the world. It was the most unique one of the most unique places I've ever been on earth, right here at home.
And I think that's nice. And you don't find that other places. And, you know, and when we look back retrospectively, when we talk about when you mentioned about the jobs and how the jobs were sent to other places, you know, I remember before we started using computers and everything was paper, you know what I mean? Everything was, you didn't have all this automation. And people thought, gosh, yeah, nothing, we're not going to survive if we put everything inside these little boxes. Because we're always evolving and because we are always hopefully improving, then guess what? You know, when jobs are sent away, these industrial jobs, no one thought that we were going to have a recession back then. You know what I mean?
No, but they called it, I'm sorry, what was your name?
My name is Dana.
Hey, Dana, I'm sorry, I knew that. I just let it slip off my tongue. I forgot it. Dana, this thing about, you know, you hear the politicians saying it, that protectionism is bad, but that's not true. And they said the tariff system was bad, and that's not true. This thing with free trade is a British tool that the British have used all over the world in past histories, and everywhere free trade has been imposed on the nations that they did business with, it has destroyed the economies of the nations that were involved. And so we need to reestablish our tariff systems, and we need to establish our protections. I mean, you got to see that this did not work. So how are we going to fix it? We got to go back and be like we were before.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
Like you were saying, funny now you got the Jakar was talking. You have the Democrats saying you need to bring immigrants.
You got a lot of noise, Jimmy.
Right now, you have the Democrats saying that we need immigration to bring these workers over here to get these jobs and then we're taken. Then you have the Republicans screaming that we need to start hiring low-class workers. You know, low-class minimum wage workers. It's the same deal. What we're going to do is bring immigrants and workers in here, and the big corporations are going to start paying them next to nothing, and the cycle of the cycle continues. The cycle of real people not getting real jobs continues. What you said earlier, that speech on NAFTA that Bill Clinton signed, I mean, if people would have listened to Ross Perot and not say he was a madman back in the early 90s, then they'd realize, like Ross Perot said, these jobs are going to go away, America's going to close down, everything's going to go to China, and we're not going to have the jobs, and they're not coming back. And they're not. The only way you can get jobs back in America, the only way America can probably be back to America like it was back in the black and white television days is if we go invade Mexico, make it part of America, and take all our eco, non-friendly environment stuff and dump it down there. You know, and utilize the economy, the workforce, and go from that. Bring in Puerto Rico. Another tax base. It's all about.
Well, they ain't got nothing down there except people. I mean, they're they don't have any real industry unless it's tourism. And
it's the workforce industry. Tax them. Like all citizens of America, you tax them, and they can use that tax to pay for your Obamacare. So it's because you need a tax base. Let's be real. If you want to look at why you want to get the women in the workforce, why? For tax breaks. Let them pay taxes. The more people you pay in taxes, the better off your society is. Now, if we got a revenue problem and we're not taking in that much revenue and we're crying about all these unskilled labor, I mean, Puerto Rico gets all the protection of America. Let's start taxing their citizens and make them part of America. If Mexico get it hard over here, let one more cartel member kill an American border guard and it not be called an act of war. Here's an American citizen protecting his border guard and being harassed and shot.
Yeah, that's right. I like that idea, Jimmy.
I'm just saying, and if the government cannot do nothing about it, if the government can't do nothing about it, then we got to do something about it because we're being shot on a daily basis and nothing happened. Nothing's happening. We're letting your people over here and for your job, taking our money back and taking it back home. Now, if there's an economic problem, then there is opportunity for we're a capitalistic society. There's opportunity for business down there. There's opportunity for business down there and run our factories down there, you know, and run our small population down there. If they don't mind working for that little low minimum wage down there, we can take all our polluting down there, taxes, get the money back. I mean, there's ways. There's ways. I just throwing stuff out here. I ain't trying to sound like the crazy, you know, right-wing, wacko job, warmongering. No, I'm saying there's ways. You know, I'm just saying, you're talking about, let's see your New World Order idea out there. The mail roll is coming regardless of the fact. They talking about running what? A highway from Mexico to Canada, right? Right? So, hey.
Yep.
So, hey. If that's in the woodworks and everybody knows about it, everybody ain't worried or read about it, four American die on the border and nothing be done about it. I mean, see, that's an act of war. You know, that's an act of war. And if the country cannot, country is allowing to shoot at our military because the border guard is the our military arm of the government, then we got to do something about it.
We're spread too thin, Jimmy. We've got to bring our folks home from overseas now. We killed over 1 million Iraqis over there. I mean, I know we had 3,000 people die up there in New York, but this Iraq, I don't believe we could have set offshore and just sent drones over there and picked that place to death and never lost a single soldier.
That's what we're doing now. That's the war that we're governing now. You see, that's why, again, let me go back to Mitt Romney. Everybody want to laugh at the donkeys, bare nets, and the submarine track, but no. The war Barack Obama's fighting is, and you want to laugh at my man or not, is Donald Rumsfeld. We don't need boots on the ground. We got drones. We can just send a bunch of toys over there and pick them up one by one. And that's what we're doing now. We're doing that in Syria. We're doing that. I mean, that's what we're doing now. You know? That's
what when you see pictures of our soldiers walking through the poppy fields over there, you got to think it's more than just about, Al-Qaeda. It's got to be about the Queen's dope.
Well, if you want to go about the Queens, if you want to say it's about the Queens, don't then look what we're doing in Mexico. We're allowing cartels members to shoot the guards. It got to be about the drugs.
That's right.
So if it's about
I'm not familiar with enough of that, so I would definitely not even try to speak on something like that. I would like to think that we're over there doing what we're supposed to be doing, protecting the freedoms of Americans. You know what I mean? I don't think it's about any drugs. I don't think it's about anything else. I think it's about us protecting the freedoms here in America. And I think that's what it's always been about.
Yeah, well, that's not America. This is America. That's Afghanistan. What are we doing in Afghanistan?
There have been wars throughout the history.
They've been fighting for 7,000 years. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you, Danny.
No, that's okay. I was just saying that, I can't speak about the travesties of war or, why we're fighting in certain battles. I don't know. But I do know that I definitely believe that our military is there trying to protect the freedoms of America. And that's just my opinion on it.
I would say that everybody was talking about that it was over oil, but if we had invested in securing our own resources, which we've got, we can be energy independent in a short period of time. We've got the infrastructure for it, and it could have already been done. So they're really, we just shouldn't have been there, because you got 35 different Arab countries over there. They have been fighting each other from the beginning of time. You just cannot deal with them. You can't make them happy. I wish I could. There was a way that you could reason with them, but you can't. As long as we're over there, we give them a focal point on something to fight against. We're all of a sudden Satan, let's pull all of our people home. Let them fight each other. That's the way I look at it.
I'm about to bring my man 314. Thanks, Piyaki's in for a second. Hey, Brother Piyaki, I got you on. Bring me in. Is he in, Ebony? Yeah, I got you live, Piyaki. You on?
Hey, what's going on, Jimmy?
How you doing? We got a couple of minutes. You want to contribute to the show? Go on ahead, my friend. You on?
Yeah, I voted for Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico.
why was that? Why was that?
I liked his libertarian his platform.
Okay. Did you vote for president?
Yeah, I voted for him for president.
What was the platform? Because I really didn't get too much. Here in Illinois, we didn't get a lot of presidential TV shows or literature. The election just ran right through here. You would never know it was an election whatsoever. And that's funny for Chicago. What was his platform?
Similar to Ron Paul's. But, you was talking about blacks' votes. When the numbers come out, you're going to see that blacks didn't make much of a difference in this election. Those states up north in the northeast corner, there's no black population up there. I think Connecticut may have 12,000 blacks in that state. But other than that, very little whatsoever. Your black population is going to be in your Ohio's, your Florida, of course. I don't think Obama won Florida. I don't know what that was.
He said he won it. They gave it to him. And Ohio didn't want to be up all night counting no votes and being on another Florida. They knew he was going to win Florida because, again, John McCain got 3 million more votes than Mitt Romney. 3 million more people stayed home than the vote for Mitt Romney. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. I didn't vote for Romney neither. I don't think Obama or Romney would have done anything to correct the monetary problems of the United States, that's going to happen any way you want to. I'll just put it in like it is. And I agree with the gentleman. Americans should keep a butt out of these other people's business. You know, we complain about corporations, but yet and still you want your military to be around the world fighting for corporate causes, which you don't play out any concern at all. Them states up on the northeast corner, those are military states where you have shipbuilding and so on and so on and so on. Down in Maryland, that's government. Maryland, Virginia, those are government jobs. And those states out in the west, in the southwest and the northwest, those states are agriculture states that receive a lot of government subsidies because they were going to go for Republicans, which they did.
Well, you know, so you think because Maryland, Virginia, government jobs, you know, Virginia got a big Navy population there, and you think because they felt the military wings, those states that went for Obama, you felt those states.
Well, they don't want them to cut the military budget, but the military budget's got to be cut. You know, I was at a meeting last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, with some peace advocates, and you know, we've seen some suggestions of upwards of like $4 trillion over the next 10 years, which I think would get the military budget down around $200 billion, maybe a little bit less. But austerity is going to happen. I mean, just look at the numbers. Social Security, Medicare,
it has to happen.
Military budget. Talking about taxing the rich, rich people got money in the bank. You can't tax their money that they've already paid tax on it already.
Well, yeah, you can. They decided to continue the death tax, didn't they?
they got to die first, but
I'm letting y'all free fall going in. I don't want to stop the banter call. Dana got some stuff. Sorry, Dana. What were you saying, Dana? You had you in the blue room for a minute. What were you saying, Dana?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. I was just listening. I was just listening to the conversation.
They got about 20 states that's passing petitions. Texas has been passing this petition for a long time by succession. I think they have, over 250,000 signatures on a petition.
But Texas realized, Texas pulled that succession back as soon as they realized it's running money out of flu shots. Everybody want to say they want to get out, but in the end, say another Susie come hit your town. I mean, look at New York and look at New Jersey. Cuomo said don't come in my state. Bloomberg said don't come in my state. And they still got people in gas lines. Jersey, my man said, come here, Obama. We need you right now. And they had gas. Everything's up and running.
But the only thing he could send in there was the National Guard, which states have National Guards in place. Anyway.
But some of the National Guards right there are overstretched. There's some of the most of the states' National Guards over there in Iraq and Afghanistan, let's be real.
Well, right. That's why they need to come home. That's the same thing was going on in New Orleans when General Honore. It was asking about where's all the equipment. It was over in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Well, in Iraq at that time. But, the state of Louisiana, the governor had requests for the federal government to come into those states. Federal government can't go into these things. People, for some reason or another, think that the federal government have all these powers. The states have more power than the federal government. Obama don't have any powers over the states other than the enforcement of federal laws. Look at the showdown you're going to have with these two states that okayed marijuana and the federal government still having it as being a federal crime. So what are you going to have? The state sending in federal marshals and the government going to bring out his National Guard? That ought to be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm following that. I mean, in the next 4 minutes, Jack, what's your take on that in Colorado, them passing that law? Because you're right, states does have the rights to legislate and tax their own, make their own income, and create their own revenue. What do you think is going to happen in Colorado with that? Bianchi.
I don't know. It'd be very interesting. As I said before, it'd be very interesting. I don't have no. I think marijuana should be legal anyways. And, you know, African Americans, look how many of your children in jail over some trumped up marijuana charges. But I don't see anything wrong with marijuana. This war on drugs has been nothing but a farce.
That's right. It sure has. And especially what, not necessarily soft drugs, but the softer drugs like marijuana, you know, that's Portugal passed, they made it legal for everything. I mean, hard drugs and soft drugs. And if you want to be an addict, it's there for you to be an addict. But, you know, they don't have anywhere near the amount of killing that was going on before when they had the gangs marketing it. So I think that if we can kill off, start raising marijuana and selling it $5 a bushel, they'll be out of business in Mexico.
They'd be out of business in Mexico, and with the hemp industry alone, rope, clothing, soap, your next manufacturing marketing area can open up from that point on. You know, a whole other hemp industry, textiles, paper, a whole industry can come out of that, a whole new wave of textiles can come out of that, cream, soap,
clothes,
all type of things can come out of that,
yes.
and you're opening jobs. And you're creating a whole other workforce. And you open a whole other economy. You tax, you make another tax bracket. And the stock market is making money, too, because those products that make those products will be making money. I mean, it's an industry itself that's self-sufficient enough to get us out the hole we got up, you know.
Sounds like you studied that a little bit, Jimmy. Did you go back in history when they made hemp illegal because they was competing with cotton? And hemp is actually a stronger material than cotton. Clothes lasted longer, and they made sails and stuff out of it. The sails was tougher than the cotton sails. There was a lot of great things about hemp, and it could be again today. You're right about that.
Paper, plastic, you make bags out of hemp. Everything's biodegradable. You can look at the ecosystem, how it can help out. You want to go green. You want to stop the you know, clear the system up. I mean, right now we're in the 21st century, and right now when America wakes up, cause I still think America thinks we're still in the 20th century. When America wakes up and realizes we're 12 years in the 21st century, we got to start thinking 21st century. You know, when I was a little boy, I just knew by the time I got to 1999, we were having spaceships. We'd be having the technology that I saw in Star Trek. So in my mind, we're far behind. But right now, we're in 2012. Marijuana should not be illegal. Having a blunt or a joint or a bag of marijuana should not get your time or prevent you from getting student aid because as a little minor, a 15, 16-year-old kid, you get caught marijuana. Now you got a felony charge. Now you can't get financial aid. Now you can't go to college. Now your whole life is messed up for a joint. You know? You're not harassing no one. You're not causing no crime. Not doing nothing whatsoever. But you have this in your pocket now. Your whole future for one little childish mistake is eradicated for some little archaic drug law. And look at the money we're spending on the drug enforcement laws. I mean, look at that. Look at all the technology. I mean, all the millions and millions of dollars we're wasting. We're not even enforcing it. Because we're allowing border guards to get shot by cartels at the border. It's a war on drugs. We're losing it because every day we're getting popped at the border. I mean, right there.
We got 15 million people in prison, Jimmy.
You know?
15 million in prison.
Well, listen, I'm glad you called, Mr. Farmer. I'm Neil. You two, Pion.
Yeah.
I got from Alabama, Bianchi from Missouri, Kansas City, and Danville, D.C. I'm going there and wind it out right here, doing a little tribute to the fallen soldiers. So feel free to go in there and call in again. But, you know, since you're in Alabama,
you,
we have talks like this Monday through Wednesday. Thursday, I play music. Bianchi should know how I do it. And thank you again for calling, Bianchi. We need to call in earlier to, you know, Bianchi. I like you. Yeah, I know you're napping. I can hear your voice. Again, I thank y'all for calling in. Tune in again tomorrow. It's Jimmy's Underground Radio, and I'll talk to y'all later soon. I'm going to go ahead and send this shout-out to the Tillmans out there in Mississippi. Coach Benny Tillman passed away. Saturday, and this song is for you. Then I'm going to go ahead and hit the theme, the battle for the fallen soldier. But hit the song with BT. Hold on, Dana.
There comes a day in your life when you want to kick back, straw hat on the porch when you old perhaps, want to gather your thoughts, have a cold one, brag to your grandkids on how life is golden. So I'ma light a cigar in the corridor of the crib, pictures on the wall of all the things that I did, all the money and fame, 8x10s of the whole rat pack inside of a big frame, colliding with big names that could have made your career stop, all that and your man is still here and I'm still hot. Wow, I need a moment, y'all. See, I almost saw the teardrop. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest faith. This hood taught me golden ways. Made me.
Truly, this is what made me.
Break me.
Not a thing's gonna break me.
These streets hold my deepest faith. This hood taught me golden ways.
Flash, rock steady, spinning on they back. Can't forget when the first rap Grammy went to Jazzy. Fresh Prince, Fat Boys broke up. Rap hasn't been the same since. So irregular, how it messed you up when Mr. T became a wrestler. Can't forget about Jordan's retirement. The shot Robert Horry hit to win the game in the finals, kid. Some things are forever, some things are not. It's the things we remember that gave the world shock. They stay in a place in your mind so snug. Like who the person was with whom you first made love. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deep.
Yeah, it's Veterans Day, everybody. I'd like to have a Veterans Day for all the veterans that are out there. Veterans Day, so I know you got a couple of days to go before you get out the service. You know, so I know you count those days down.
Unforgettable, I go by N now. Just one syllable.
I'd ride up there.
It's the N, cause the game's tired. It's the same
with his big brother.
Right
Eddie Middle Brother.
Papa
Tillman.
Keep bringing up the greater times.
Vietnam War.
Nostalgia with the state of mind. The past, the past. Enough of it, I think. Enough of gives me chills like Douglas and Tyson. Mike when his talk was live. And when he first did the moonwalk on Motown 25. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest days. This hood taught me golden ways. Made me.
Truly, this is what made me.
Break me.
Not a thing's gonna break me.
These streets hold my deepest days. This hood taught me golden ways. Made me.
Truly, this is what made me.
Break me.
Not a thing's gonna break me.
That's why, darling. It's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Jimmy, so all in all, the veterans of foreign wars, this is for you all, you too, Dana. All right, Tillman, good night. May God be with you.
Good night, everyone.
I remember when I was much younger than now. I used to sit and listen to the news. I was the only child. And another day, and another night, wishing Daddy would come home. Me and Mom couldn't sleep at night.